back to the No Panic Zone. Steve Gerber with you on a Tuesday. It's the 7th of April. The peak in New York City could be 2 days from now, according to the governor. We could be at the apex right here, the peak for fatalities in New York City Thursday. That's the prediction. We'll see where that brings us. But for the rest of the country, the damage might be worse. 10 million unemployed, could be 20 million, could be more. Some predictions put the unemployment rate at 32% in this country when this is all said and done. And at what cost? Drug abuse, alcoholism, domestic violence. Reports of domestic violence skyrocketing because of people being locked in their homes. Suicide, alcoholism, all of these things are costs of what we're doing. There is a cost of doing business to shut down the country in an effort to fight this virus. And then, of course, the financial destruction that comes with it. My next guest has been here many times, Phil Kirpin, the president of American Commitment. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Great to be with you.
So at some point, we have to discuss pivoting back to the economy. And as I'm looking at all of these numbers, Phil, I'm looking at a lot of numbers and projections that simply failed. I mean, California, Washington, and Oregon now are sending ventilators to other parts of the country or just putting them on stockpiles. The federal government has 9,000 ventilators waiting to be shipped to any hot spot that needs them. New York City, however, on the backside. So we have to look down the road. Where do we go from here, Phil? How do we get started?
Well, I think the answer is to look at what other countries are already starting to do in Europe. We've seen announcements now that both Austria and Denmark are going to open up their economy after Easter, which was President Trump's original goal. If you remember, he already slipped down to the end of the month. But they're doing state reopenings. They're going to start with, I think, the primary schools, and then they're going to add, so-called non-essential businesses, and then they're going to add, restaurants and bars and movie theaters. A couple of weeks after that, and I think they're going to tell people to wear masks. That might be part of what we do here also, but I think the idea is going to be you go slow, you open sort of sections of the economy at a time here because we're such a big country. You might do it sort of regionally by state as well, have slightly different timetables, but I think the idea has to be what's that?
You got to crack the valve. You got to let a little oxygen in, basically.
Yeah, I think the point here is we're going to have to say, we're getting back to work. We're getting back to not quite normal, but something close to normal. But we're still going to be very careful in terms of very strict hygiene, washing the hands all the time, making sure you don't cough unless it's covered, you're not shaking hands, that kind of thing. And by the way, the experts say that if you're strict about, those hygiene measures and that kind of thing, you really have all the same benefits as, trying to shelter at home anyway.
So we're going to go ahead and practice what we were taught in kindergarten. Okay, I can live with that. We're going to go ahead and practice what my mother taught us and our grandmothers and grandparents and fathers said, wash your hands. Okay, simple stuff. My question becomes this, Phil. If at the end of all of this, the latest numbers that I have seen is that the death toll in America might be 81,000 maximum, another new model, 40,000, the maximum death. Did we trade our entire economy and flirt with a new Great Depression for 40,000 deaths that of many of which, I'm sorry to say, may have been triggered by a host of other respiratory issues? I mean, when I see a story in Michigan that the oldest person died from coronavirus is 107, I'm sorry, I have to roll my eyes. Because at 107, anything could be your cause of death. Let's be honest, right?
Well, the thing is, like any respiratory disease, it's generally people who are very sick that are the people who die. As long as the medical system holds up, if you overwhelm the hospitals, then, a lot of other people might die as well. That hasn't happened yet. It didn't even happen in New York, and I don't think it's going to happen anywhere else. We've done a very good job, I think, of deploying medical resources, and we've got the greatest doctors and nurses in the world, by the way, so we're going to do better than these other countries just based on that.
The projection was 140,000 hospital beds needed in New York, worst case. 110,000 was kind of the medium prediction. The
models are way off, by the way.
Look, they're not even close.
The models are obviously way off. I don't think it was ever the millions of people they were saying it was going to be. I don't think it was ever really the hundreds of thousands. At the end of the day, I suspect we're going to look back on this and we're going to say, maybe we end up losing 50,000 people, and it could have been 100,000 if we didn't take all these measures. And
my question is,
philosophical debate about whether it's worth it and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's. You know, I think that's something you do after you get through it. Right now, I think the key thing is we need to have a plan to reopen the economy and to stop the extreme negative economic impacts that we're seeing on this. The president has already sort of set the timetable when he said, you know, we're going to extend these current measures through the end of this month. I think it's really, really important that we have a great plan in place to reopen at the end of this month and that we don't let that slip any further.
And I've got a Phil Kirpin here with us with the American Commitment. I've got to look at this because Fauci is the guy that's one of the people driving the narrative, fair to say. And with Fauci out there, he says, well, we can't reopen the economy until there's not one more case. And he said the peak now is not going to come until mid-May. Now, wait a second. The peak was coming the first week of April. And by all accounts in New York right now, that's coming true. It just happens to be a fraction of what was predicted. But it looks to me, and the governor seems to think so as well there, that they're at the apex, the plateau, as he put it. And if that's true, and if New York starts to come down the backside, California, Washington, Oregon, they're sending ventilators to other parts of the country. They obviously think they have their situation well in hand. So, yes, I think it is time to consider where do we pivot and how do we do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Look, I think they're going to try to say that this is because of the lockdowns that their policies were successful.
I think that
based on the timing and the facts and the fact that the models assumed the lockdowns and still had these very high numbers of hospitalizations that are not at all coming true, I think we should conclude that the models they're using overstated the danger. That said, you know, as I just said, I mean, look, a lot of people are getting very sick. Some people are dying. Some people are getting lung scarring for life, that kind of thing. You know, don't shake people's hands. You know, stay 3 feet away. I mean, there are a lot of things you can do to try to avoid getting this, and those are all good ideas. Staying at home, shutting down the whole economy, probably not the best measure that you could use.
But I want to point out something you just said here, Phil. Phil Kirpin here with American Commitment. Last point before we have to run out of here, but you just said infections, you know, if we don't reach our apex until mid-May, that means those people haven't even gotten ill yet. And if those people haven't even gotten ill yet because the average time to show symptoms is 2 to 5 days. Yes, some go 14 days, some a couple days longer. It's fairly rare. 2 to 5 days. That means that those are people that are yet to get infected. And that would make me question the entire lockdown if it's working, if people that are going to reach the peak haven't even gotten infected yet. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
Look, I mean, I think the models are wrong. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, here in D.C., they told us that we were going to peak in June and all this kind of thing. Then they revised the model and said, actually, the peak happened 3 days ago. And that's what they're saying. So, I mean, they don't know. They don't know.
So,
swinging wildly every couple of days.
Yeah, if you could send me that article, I'd greatly appreciate it. If it already peaked in D.C., that'd be another fascinating data point. Phil Kirpin, always an education. Greatly appreciate you being here, as always.
All right. Have a good one.
It's the No Panic Zone. You're listening to The Steve Gerber Show.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.